Welcome to Ram Radio with Pastor John Coleman of Into the Word Ministries, the Biblical Alternative. Ram Radio stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. Ram Radio is a program for the Christian who is constantly learning and growing in the Word of God. The discussions during Ram Radio will challenge each listener to know what they believe and why they believe it. Sometimes the discussions will challenge your salvation. Stay with us and investigate the scriptures to know what is expected of the man or woman who claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Get your Bible ready. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you, Mark, but I won't be using a Bible today because I can't think of a Bible verse that would help me on this Saturday. And I do want to keep it right, the 22nd of February, 2014. In Los Angeles, California, and me speaking to you from the Lucy Coleman studio right here in L.A. Well, it's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I've just figured out something that I figured out a couple of months ago, and I keep forgetting that when I work on particular formats, I have to work on them on the Mac computer and then transfer the file, so I keep forgetting that. Very easy recommendation, really. But I have to do that if I want to get some proper work done. But I was thinking, you know, I had to leave because I'm making a major decision. And I think that I'll talk about it on the webcast. And I want to make it formal. I was talking with a member of a brother that used to be a member of the congregation that I pastored. All right. Because since I've been injured, and I want to apologize for not doing a webcast in well over a week. I think it's something like that. But let me see, when is the last time I did do a webcast? It's, because I was out and I said, you know, the last time I did one was the 18th. So it hasn't been that long. But one of serious nature, and I have to talk to you about it. You know, since I pulled the nerve in my right shoulder blade, you've heard me talk about it, the right backural neuritis. And as I speak, it is still reigning supreme as pain in the body. And I've gotten very much used to putting up with the pain without the pain medicine. I don't take it. I still have some more left in the container, but I won't take it. I won't do that. But I was thinking, because I got a phone call from a brother that has been coming to my Bible studies, oh my gosh, ever since I met him way, way back in the 90s. And faithful, coming out to the Bible study, studying the Word of God, and yet a member of the church that I resign. And he called to ask me Wednesday, was I having the Bible study? And I explained to him that I had indefinitely canceled my Bible study because of the pain that I'm going through and my inability to really give a good lesson without wincing in pain. And I could do it. But then I said, wait a minute. And I just want you to hear me now. I said, wait a minute. I'm 70 years old. I've been given Bible studies. Oh, my gosh. I have Bible studies of mine that were handwritten. I have handwritten Bible studies that I use on overhead projectiles, on PowerPoint. I have them on, I don't know how many hard drives I have these Bible studies on. And putting together another one, to me, would be, from the work that I've done over the years that I've been doing it, would be ridiculous, because not only do I think that there's not enough people interested in a classical Bible study where a theologue puts forth an effort and teaches it as a philosophy class to a student that really wants to philosophically learn about God, I could not bring myself to doing that again. And a couple of my play sons needs that room that room in order to work on a particular project that they're working on. And the room isn't being used for anything now because I'm in dire pain. But I was asking this guy, I said, who's doing the Bible study for the church at the church that I left? I said, surely, after all of these years, just listen to me, surely after all these years, someone has taken the reins and is doing a Bible study, not only at Anselm, but any of the students that studied the Bible with me that has the formats in their hands. Can any of them give a Bible study? Can they sit down and open up the Bible and talk freely and plainly about that being the Word of God and how this Word of God being effectual in one's life can bring about some positiveness? Is there anyone? And I think the man told me that there was some thought given about it, but nothing ever materialized. And I said, well, listen, I'm indefinitely not going to do it. I'm not only looking at my physical ability to do it, but I'm also looking at that result, and it's pretty tragic. It's pretty tragic that all it takes is a man opening up his house to anyone one day of the week. If he has a knowledge of the Word of God, knows how it would be effectual to the people, especially to put it on a PowerPoint lesson and talk them through it philosophically as a Christian, to strengthen that Christian in his spiritual growth and maturity. It is not taking place. I don't know why people go to church and meet with someone on a Sunday and that person can't. And I did it for so many years. My house has always been open. Listen, my house has always been open to people, especially for Bible study. But now that I'm old and my body's beat up and the pain is hurting me pretty damn bad, I'm just giving it to you in the real. Do you really have to come to me for Bible study? Really? Wouldn't you think that by now the students themselves would be able to carry on, if not give a Bible study, at least teach their family, teach their wives? Or is the student of Bible, after years, and I mean years and years and years, because I got to tell you, when I became a Christian in 1967, within a year after I was a Christian, I was bringing Bible study lessons to the teenagers in the church. Within a year, my pastor saw my teaching gift, and I've been teaching more than the youth class, the young adult class, the seniors class, the baby fish class, every class, for going on 45 years. Now, after all of that, would you not think that there is someone, one of my proteges, one of my students? I think there's a young lady that I know. She married a guy and she goes to another church. I think she's back east somewhere. And she thanks me for the work that I put in because she's teaching a ladies' Bible study group. You would have never thought that she would be the person to do that, but she's doing it. And I know a lot of Bible wannabe teachers, but I've never heard them teach a Bible study without trying to put a joke in it or make something easy for the listener or try to appear to be cute when they gave it. I mean, I'm serious. The person that's a Bible teacher should open up their house, be always willing to bring a decent Bible study lesson, and I'm tired. I'm not going to do it anymore. I will never retire or resign from reading my Bible, studying my Bible, doing webcasts. Maybe if I find something interesting, I'll share it with you on the website, because I'm still a pastor in my heart. though I was telling someone that I'll never get an invitation to preach at anybody's church because they know that I will talk the truth and tell them what I'm thinking. People don't invite Pastor John to come and speak at their church or to their Bible study group because I'll tell the group, think on your own. Think without thinking with the mind of your pastor. Develop your own ideas about what God is saying to you by you looking at his word. Can you read? Are you literate? Do you know how to weigh things the way they're supposed to? You don't need them. I'll tell you this. I couldn't believe it. I don't know how to. Man, a lot of things happen. You know, the semester just got started. Got started, and so I'm teaching. Thank God. 3 classes this semester, and it's turning out to be a wonderful semester. I'm looking at my slides this Saturday, and if any of you students are listening in, I want to apologize for not having the slides up. One of my computers just went kerplunk, the one that I was using it to put the things up. I think I may have to use another computer to do that, and I'll try to get it done later on today. But anyhow, let me share with you there was a student, I think the first week of the class, he joined one of my philosophy classes, and it was a world religions class. I don't know his name, but he came up to me after the class one day and was having an elongated conversation with me about world religions and Christianity because he told me that his father was a pastor of a church. And consequently, I'd visited this church before, since I've been there about 3 or 4 times, but I recently visited a couple of months ago since I had quit going to church. There was one Sunday, I think I told you about it. I got up and I just wanted to go to church to see if anybody was preaching the truth. And I went there, and it was a nice little church nestled in the area right close to where I live. I live very near the Ladera Heights area. The University Christian Church, University Christian Fellowship is the name of the church. And so I was talking with the young man. I guess he was 19, 20 years old. He's a pastor's son. And because I asked the students, did they know what an apologist was? And they didn't. And so I guess that sparked him, and he told me who he was. And I said, well, I'm glad you can take the class with me. Now, I don't know whether he's still taking the class or not, but I haven't spoken with him since that time because I gave him my website, and of course he had the syllabus, and I don't think he's been back to the class. I'm not sure, because I'm sure he would have told me that he shared with his father that he met me. And the students know that I'm a philosophy instructor and a retired pastor. They know that. And that's why, as I teach world religions, I teach Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Scientology. I teach all of that. I teach that. That's in the text, world religions. And so I don't have a problem teaching it and what other religious views are. That's all I do. It's philosophy 33. Well, I don't think the young man has come back to the class. I don't think so. Surely it's not anything that I did, but if he hears this, point yourself out to me again, because I've forgotten your face. I don't remember these kids' faces, really. And because there's too many students and I'm teaching in the band room. And so I'm, you know, I got a cinemascope thing to deal with instead of focusing in on one person. But I don't think he came back to my class. And the reason that he probably didn't come back to the class, because I pointed out to the class what an apologist does. And I said, for the Christian religion. And I told them that I visit churches. And I listen very closely to what pastors say. And I come on my webcast and I make the correction. And I told the young lad, I said, if I get a chance, I will visit your father's congregation again. I'd be happy to, but I really don't have time to do that, because once I've been there, I've been there forever. I have found this to be true. When most pastors that are current pastors find out that I am thinking about visiting their church, coming there, sitting, listening, they do not want me to come. Because you see, I'm educated, and in some cases, even more so than they are, and know whether they're lying, know whether they are telling the truth, and I'll blow their trick bag up. That's what I'll do. Now, that's why God called Pastor John, that's me, to do what I do. I don't do very many webcasts the way I used to now, because if you look down on my website on the page there, you see a picture of this guy, John MacArthur. And all you have to do is listen to his testimonies. Maybe the kid's father listened to that, and he's a friend of MacArthur, and he says, oh no, I can't have you taking that man's class. Don't take classes with him. Don't talk to him. Don't come near him. He's of the devil. Because see, people got to protect their money. Now, I don't know this to be true about this young fella and his dad. Because I forgot his face. And I guess I could look up the church or drive by there and see the guy's name and look at my roster and see if the name of the boy is still on there. I guess it is. It may be. But I'm surely not. I'm just wondering what happened to all the friendly talk. Oh, you're a pastor. Oh, my dad's a pastor too. Well, wonderful, wonderful. What kind of a pastor? I'll find that out when I go listen to him, when I go and see his church practices. And I pointed out to my students that I work, that I think that pastors should work. When I was a young pastor, I worked. The church grew to a proportion where I didn't have to work. You know what I wanted to do? I had an associate pastor, and I wanted to turn the church. Check it out. I told you guys this story before. I had an associate pastor. The church had grown. We couldn't get more than 160 people in the room. I mean, for the morning worship. I was willing to go down the street and rent an old hall, anything, and give the church that I was currently in to my associate pastor, let him pastor that when he was equipped, got his seminary work out the way, and I'd go and start another work. That's the way evangelical spreading of the truth of God's love for human beings was supposed to be back in the day. It wasn't this get a big room and make it bigger and, you know, blowing it up like John Osteen's son Joel did. That's not church, that's circus. It's melodrama, melodramatics. But he was Joel Osteen. He was a communication specialist in college. And when he was sitting under his daddy's tutelage, he learned the business on how to triple that money. That's why he's one of the largest preachers in the country. And Billy Graham, what, the father of evangelical Christianity? Disgusting. Go to my infamous Billy Graham clips. Are they on this page somewhere? I think they're still down there. Yeah, I think it's still down below. You have to go down a little bit below. I thought that I had a link up there, though. Let me see. The marriage commentary. I'm going to have to put the link back up there so that you can go to it easy. But there is no preacher for America. America doesn't have a preacher that everybody can look to and say, now this is our preacher, because America is not a godly country. I'm not talking about my country. I'm trying to say that American popularity does not place its heart on true biblical Christianity. I heard that the, I believe it's, what's that, Arizona again, or some other states are tried to put forth laws in existence that are saying that if, like, performing a wedding ceremony in their church or their facility or anything like that, if the people are gay, that these evangelical Christians will refuse them business, even if they want a sandwich and a Coke, that if they're Christian and they figure that somebody is gay, that they can refuse them business or food because they're of the same sex partnership. Now, we aren't talking about the right of a business owner to do what he wants to do. I'm not talking about that. Because the right of a business owner, right, if you go to court and if the law is with you you have the right to do whatever you want to do in your business if the law is with you on your side. I'm not arguing with that. This is what I'm arguing with. Why in the hell are you using the name Christian in front of your name? How can you call yourself, wait a minute, how can you say that you're representing a God that loves and you would refuse to give any kind of service to a gay partnership? What do you know about the straight, quote unquote, partnership? What do you know about them? What do you know about what they're doing? What if you found out that they were child abusers of their own children, the ones that you did the business with because you didn't know about their secret life? But you're going to refuse the gay partnership because you don't like the way they are intimate with each other. I mean, what kind of rash, brash hypocrisy is that? Wait a minute. Let's keep this thing crystal clear. You say that you love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your might, and your strength. See, this is Pastor John, and I know what I'm talking about because I have sermons on that. I'm all over the internet talking about that. People are still looking at my YouTube clips. They can go and look at YouTube clips of me all day long. I have this question for you. Does that make any sense to you at all? You're Christian. You love the Most High God, Jehovah, who created everyone. He created the premier of Russia, the president of Kyiv, or whatever you call it. He created George W. Bush. He created Malcolm X. Same God that created us all. Now, here, you are a follower of the Most High, Jehovah, Elohim, Yahweh. I feel ashamed just to mention his many names of his character. And if you don't believe that God exists, you're lying. You do believe. Since you call him God, you know that there's something existing. I won't even go there with you. But wait a minute. Let's go back to the argument. You're so saved. God has blessed your business and gave you a business. God gave you the business. But when God gave you the business, God told you in your heart and in your soul, if any homosexuals come in here to do any business here, you are not to sell them anything. You are not to bid them good day. You are not to smile at them. Now tell me, is this the same God that I worship and I serve? This may be why the pastor don't want his boy attending my class. And boy, if you are attending my class, speak to me. Because you see, I know how it is in the evangelical church. In the true church of Jesus Christ, you have no fear of being exposed. I have no fear in saying that I have many, many, many gay friends, like I have many, many, many straight friends. And it makes no difference to me who and what they are. And they would get compassion and service from me, irregardless of their choice. I may not agree with someone eating Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, or greens and cornbread. But if they want to do that, that's between them, their conscience, and their God. Because in some cases, I don't even know who their God is. I don't even know why they do what they do. I think some of you need to take my world religions class to learn about other people, other cultures, other ideologies, other ideas. And unless you get it tripped up, I'm fully aware that the black man, African-American, Negroes, or niggers, if you of that degree, and because I'm just being real with it all, we all come here having a religion from a place or a country that we came from. And the religion that we usually adopt when we stop by in America has been adopted or put on us by someone else. I have a cousin of mine that died a number of years ago. He lives down south. I was very fond of he and his dear wife and his sons and his family. I met them once years ago at a family reunion. He was closely attached to the Wheaton College. And if you know anything about Wheaton, Illinois, they have that city there, and many evangelical Christians are there. And he was one that was giving a Bible study, one of the very few black men that were allowed to give a Bible study there. And when he heard about me, and I'm his cousin here on the West Coast, we shared emails and things back and forth. Oh, years ago he died. He passed away. And he was a fine Christian man. And I would tell him, and I would say, you know, the faith that we have adopted is not the original faith of our people. And this faith has been twisted. I said, I know you're associated with the Wheaton group, because he asked me who I was closely aligned to. He said, you're so biblical and you know what you're talking about. Well, what group are you aligned with? And I remember I told him, I said, I've aligned myself with no man. I've studied on my own, and I take what is true and I disregard that which is not. And he knew at that time I had spoken at John MacArthur's college out there and did a couple of things at his church and other churches all around the Southern California area. It was very popular. I guess they thought it was unique, young black men speaking in such a way. Maybe it was just in vogue at the time. But now as I look at society and I look at the structure of the church and I see where it has not been able to bridge the gap, and for the very reasons that the evangelicals continue to shoot themselves in the foot, they continuously do it. Why wouldn't a Christian give honorable services to anyone that walks in their business? Why? It's none of your business how people sleep with each other. It's none of your business who sins, if it's a sin at all. And who made you the judge in this other person's life? Now, if you're living in the country where we're all free and a free citizen, now, here's my question, and I want any of you, especially those of you that are grad students that's going to the master's seminary, John MacArthur's place over there, answer me this question. Or any pastor that listens to this, what makes them Christian, refusing to serve those people? And please don't let your bigoted, racist attitude get in the way. Just answer the question like you got a little sense left in your head. Now, I know. Now, this is very offensive to a lot of people, because a lot of people, oh, man, I don't like the way that dude just talked to me. You know what? The person that you just turned from your business didn't like the way you turned from them, too. And say the two gay brothers from my section of the woods walk in there and try to buy a lollipop or something. Says, ooh, give me that. I'm sorry we don't serve men that holds each other's hands. But I'm two brothers who turn around and kiss each other right in front of you. Then say, no, we want a lollipop. Are you going to sell them a lollipop? Or are you going to go in the back and spit on it and then wrap it up? Are you going to smash it? Are you going to tell your children, look at those animals out there doing, you going to do crap like that? And then you're going to show up now. Don't forget this now. You're going to show up on Sunday morning praising God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, Father. Praise him high in the heavenly host. I almost forgot the song. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You bigot, you racist, you separatist, you hypocrite. Hypocritos in the Greek, if you will. I got hungry this afternoon. And I went to the Crenshaw Mall, the first black mall in South Central Los Angeles, where they have that huge Walmart store. I was trying to get some keys made. And there's a black man walking around while I was eating my lunch. And I noticed him. He's walking around. I guess he was my age. Could have been a little younger. Had a kind of a big gut and his T-shirt on. And he had big writing on the front of his hand, I love Jesus Christ. And I saw the T-shirt, and you know, like everybody, I have a T-shirt on too while I was having lunch. And on my T-shirt was a picture of Kobe Bryant, the basketball player, as a big snake shooting the points. Turns a lot of heads. My friend Bob gave it to me, and I really appreciate this T-shirt. It's nice. But I was thinking about the brother's T-shirt that he had on. And he would just walk and stand in front of people so that they would read. See, I guess that's the way he was trying to evangelize. I love Jesus Christ. I was sitting at my table, and I had my shades on. He didn't see me looking at him. At least I hope he didn't see me. But I looked his way, and I thought, and I said, you know what? You ought to ask that boogaboo over here and ask him why you love him. And why are you such an exhibitionist like that? And thirdly, do you think these people would know the real Jesus that you're talking about? Or is this Jesus a figment of your imagination running around in your head? That's what I was going to ask him while I was eating a little bowl of rice and chicken. Had too many hot peppers in it. But the rice and chicken was very delightful. No, I didn't call him to me because I would not stop him from doing what he was doing, because another voice said to me and said, John, possibly this is how this man thinks that he can get close to God, by sharing about Jesus in this way, just by showing people. So a little voice told me, don't mess up his world, because your world and wearing the Kobe thing, I like people to respond, is Kobe looking like a snake? I think it's some beautiful artistic work. And there were only a few T-shirts made like this, so no one else can pick them up anywhere else. So I have a novelty, from what I understand, from Bob Klink, and a pretty nice one. Bob and I both like the ability of Kobe Bryant of the Los Angeles Lakers, if you will. But why didn't I say something to the old man? Like myself, because I respected him. And I respected his idea of sharing Jesus. That's the way he wants to share Jesus. With that, I love Jesus, put it on your shirt, because he's going to run into somebody that's going to say, well, I love him too. And I'm not going to question how that person loves Jesus. I'm just so happy that I hope that the peace of God rests, rules, and abides in their hearts. But I have more respect for this brother that walks in the mall that has on this T-shirt, I love Jesus. And I didn't see him jumping in nobody's face trying to get in their business, tell them that they're going to hell if they don't love him, and all that kind of stuff. That's why I didn't say anything, because I said, see, you're interfering with his peace, with his place, with his joy. Observations from the Lucy Coleman studio on this Saturday. And a wonderful Saturday it is. And since I've learned what I have to do for the rest of my notes here, I'm going to try to spend maybe just a few more hours here at the computer. And then I'll go and probably go to Netflix. Broman is, come here, Broman. Broman is looking at me from outside, and he wants me to play with him. I've already taken him walking, but my arm is starting to drag me down. See, usually around 4 o'clock, the end of an 8-hour workday is when this thing really starts to hurt me more. And that means that I have to either take a nap, because I'm 70 years old, or slow down. I want those of you that really still love Pastor John and know where I'm coming from to think about these important things that I talk about, because I got some news for you. I know one thing about God. I don't know too much. I'm not like these theologues that can tell you how old the planet is and what came first, the chicken or the egg. Oh, I know the theological answer, but I'm going to tell you the truth, brother. Don't tweak my mind with a question like that. I'm glad somebody or something came first. And I'm after work and see it, and I praise God for it. Now, I want to say this. Don't ever take the idea of God and run with that thing in such a way that that idea is turning other people off about him. The idea that God doesn't like certain people because they love certain people is a fallacy. Because I love gay people, and I know gay people that love me. I love straight people, and I know straight people that love me. Now, you're an evangelical, right? Could you say that? Could you look at the gay person in your store and say, I love you. I am so pleased that you came here. What would you like? Can I get you? What can I offer you? Can I offer you the discount? Oh, is this your partner? How do you do, George? And your name? Chuck. Nice to meet you, Chuck. So glad you can come to my store. If you need anything, just be sure to come to me, and I'll help you personally. It's a privilege to have you in here. Now, then what those gay people are going to do, or that gay couple is going to do, they're going to bring some more couples, some more of their friends here. They're going to boost your business, right? That's what you're all about. That you're Christian. You're about Jehovah God blessing, right? And so they're going to bring them there, and then they're going to come. They're going to shop there. And then when your straight customers come in, they say, my goodness, look at all these. And then you may even get some transgendered persons in there. Yes, can you love them too? Oh, you may not agree with the way they dress. You may not agree with the makeup they have on. I may not agree with a man wanting to be a woman. I don't know why a man would want to be that. But if the man want to come in there and buy something from me, long as he don't have bro man with him, hey, because I won't allow no dogs in my shop. But a human, sure enough, can you say that as an evangelical Christian, that that's what you're like? Because if you can say that, and if you can mean it, I would love to visit you at your church on a Sunday morning and hear you get up in front of the whole church and correct them and say, you should invite these people in your lives because they have an awful lot to share with us, because we've been bigoted so many years and we've been hiding behind the name of God to justify our hatred. And I want to tell you that we are wrong in the eyes of God, and we and me needs to repent. My God, if you did that, y'all would really be having church. Well, thank you for joining me for Into the Word Apologetics. Just another way to look at how we're to get along in this mad, mad, mad world. Unless we end up killing everybody because they don't necessarily tie the bow tie the way we do, right? This is Pastor John, your internet pastor, just keeping it real with you. Tell all your friends that I love them so much, and I don't care what gender they are, what race they are, what they like. I don't care. I'm going to love anyhow. And if you can show me one verse of scripture where God, listen, you evangelical, straight-laced, straight-faced, don't want to show me one scripture, and I've never said this on any of my webcasts, show me one scripture where God says, irregardless, I hate them, and I will never allow them in my kingdom. And please don't go to that scripture that says that homosexuals and effeminate and those won't get into heaven, because I know what that verse means. I know what it means. It doesn't mean what you think it means. Transliterated in the Greek, take it back to its first century meaning, and then allow it to be applied within the context that it was given. All right? Because I know what evangelicals would do. You would get on your bandwagon, and you would try to make something mean what it don't mean, and you will become the mean machine and justified. You know, it's like a lot of, I got to say this before. You know, the Winter Olympics is ending this weekend over there, right? I heard that some American evangelicals went to Russia on this campaign to come against gay people in that country and said that the gays have ruined America, and we over here trying to help you before the gays from America come over there and ruin. Yes, the gay issue is heavy on my mind. And you know why it's heavy on my mind? Because I knew a lot of gay people in the church that I pastored. I knew a lot of gay people there. And we never had this discussion. And we should have had the discussion. Because if we had the discussion, maybe half the hell that blew up in the church would not have blown up. You got my drift? You got my drift? This is Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman studio saying, whatever you do, stay into the Word.